Welcome to Career Tools. This week, how to attend happy hour. Here we go. Let's talk about drinking.
We've convinced people that they're going, and now we've brought up alcohol. So there is no reason to drink
if you
don't want to for any reason.
Don't. Guys, just don't. I mean, we're not saying to everyone don't. If you want to have a pint, great. Yeah. If you want to have a gin and tonic, great. I don't know that if I were, you know, a young manager, I would order a drink like a bomb pop, right?
Something that has an innuendo in the name,
yeah.
Is probably not wise.
Sex on the beach. Yeah. I suppose I would tolerate a White Russian in light of the fact that the dude drinks White Russians. But look, if you're not a drinker, don't drink. Have water. Have tonic water. Have a Coke. Have coffee, right?
Absolutely.
And let people kid you. Mm-hmm. About, what are you, just drinking coffee? Yep, got to drive home. Now, I got to tell you, the person who kids you after you say that ought to get smacked in the head, right?
Yeah.
So go on. I'm sorry. I just got started. I feel like I probably stole your thunder.
No, that's fine. As we say, you're entitled to a truthful answer to any question to which you're entitled to an answer, and they are not entitled to an answer about whether or not why you're not drinking.
Right.
You can say,
that's even better, right? I don't have to say I'm driving home. Just say, no thanks.
Yeah, I just don't feel like it. I never drink, and people do notice.
We've been eating together, and we've gone out to places together with clients, and I've turned to you inadvertently because I'm asking everybody else, do you want to drink? And then I realize, even though we've known each other for years, although if it's just you and I going to dinner, I certainly don't expect you to have wine if I'm having wine. But it's not rude to ask someone, would you like a drink? And for the person to say no.
Have some water.
You say no, thank you. Yeah.
And I have a variety of reasons, which I will give. They're all silly. I say, I'm a lousy drunk, I'll tell people that I'm allergic. Actually, my cousin is married to a guy who is allergic. So if you want to use that, that is a genuine reason. They're not entitled to a truthful answer. Tell them whatever the hell you like.
Yeah.
If you're really bothered, I'm not bothered, but I have seen this before. Choose tonic water and lemon, and people will assume there's vodka in it. So.
Yeah, because it has fruit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's not something. And after a while, people do just accept. Wendy doesn't drink.
And
it's just
actually,
a thing.
Would you say that there's a healthy percentage of the population that respect it because you've consistently said in situations where other people are drinking alcohol and it is socially acceptable, which can be translated into it's almost there's a subtle bit of social pressure to have alcohol with everybody else when you have said repeatedly, no thank you, with a delightful look on your face, no thank you, I don't have alcohol, or just no thank you, and they figure it out, they finally ask you, do you not drink? And you say, no, I really don't. And there's actually a bump, there's a positive, like, well done you. Yeah. You've been here 10, 15 times, you're not tempted by it at all, you're just, no, it's not something you do. Well done.
Absolutely.
Good.
Sorry. Okay, so the next one is spend time with everyone equally.
Yeah, and
so,
this is where the introverts get killed.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
Okay, good.
So the idea of this time is that you're going to develop deeper relationships with the people in your team, and you can't
More than just one person who happens to be standing near you.
You can't standing with your best friend in the team in the corner for an hour and a half or all night. You have to go and talk to everybody.
Right.
And for those of us that are a little bit shy or a little bit introverted or don't like crowds or whatever, this is hard work and you have to pay attention to what you're doing.
Yeah, but you know, it's not hard work.
It's something you have to do consciously rather than...
Yeah, it's not hard work like digging a hole 30 feet deep with your hands.
No.
It's not hard work like giving birth. It's not hard work like carrying 85 file boxes up 20 flights of stairs during a power outage. It's not hard work like changing a car tire in a snowstorm for somebody who is not being appreciative. It's really not
it's
hard work.
It's just leaving your comfort level.
It's really, that's exactly right. In fact, I noticed the other day, we have all kinds of phrases that give people cover over their comfort zone and make it sound like, oh, that's hard work for me. No, it's not. Sticking your hand out and saying hi is not hard work for 90. Now, there are some people with really significant agoraphobic or just not comfortable in social situations. I certainly respect that. I don't mean to diminish someone who has a condition that keeps them from being comfortable around other people. That said, it's not hard work to be in a group of 20 of your coworkers and to make a point of saying, hello, you know, we don't talk a whole lot, but I'm Brandy. I work in records, and I know you work in accounting, and I see your name on some stuff. I just like to say hello.
Yeah.
And you only have to visit for a couple of minutes. And so many people I know are like, oh, it's so hard for me. And then you show them a videotape. You know what it's like? It's a bit like body image. The body image, when people are worried about their body, these consultants have them lay down on a slab and they outline their body on the slab. And when they show them the outline of their body, they're like, oh, that's not that awful. And it really isn't quite. It's fine, right? Or you see someone, a good example is when we train people to speak in front of audiences, we say, look, if you're wondering what to do about your hands, in fact, my nephew, Krister, who is a junior at the academy, the military academy right now, sent me a note and says, Uncle Mark, what do I do? I'm giving a presentation. I'm uncomfortable where my hands go. I said, look, you can put them at your side. And I know what he would say is, look, well, that just feels a little awkward, dorky, mm-hmm. right? And then you show them a picture of someone standing in front of a group with their hands on their side. It doesn't look awkward or dorky to the audience. It only feels awkward to you because you're used to, in conversations with your friends, moving your hands around. In fact, because the part of your brain that controls speech is the part of the brain that controls gestures, right? And you think of yourself as being unbelievably awkward in an ignominious way. You're just, oh dear God, they're seeing through me right now. I'm the worst social person in the world. And you show them a videotape of themselves later, and they're perhaps a little hesitant, but they're delightfully fine. They just have this enormous mental thing of, oh, I want to be Matt Lauer,
mm-hmm.
or I want to be some super friendly, naturally smooth.
I should be.
Yes, I should be. That's exactly what it takes to get ahead. I'll never be that person. I'll never get ahead.
That's not true.
Yeah.
It just takes
time. I remember the first time we went to AT&T years ago when we were consulting AT&T when they were developing the iPhone for Apple. And obviously on the telecom side. And it was one of the first days Mike had ever presented with me years ago. And I told Mike was sitting in the back of the room. I said, your job while I'm setting up the room is to greet every single person as they come in. And for an hour and a half, he was completely out of his comfort zone, but he did it. And he said afterwards, he says, I know I messed it up, dude. I'm so sorry. I said, dude, you were awesome. I mean, it was fun. No one could ever tell that you weren't me and could go and stick out your hand and say, hi, how are you? Hi, how are you? Nice to see you. Thanks, you're here. Pick a seat anywhere you like. Let me just get you on some coffee and so on. He said, really? I said, yeah, dude, totally fine. He says, I hated it. I said, well, didn't Joe? And it's just not that big a deal. Yeah. So I'm sorry.
So the people that you're most likely to spend time with are the people that are most like you, and the people you need to spend time with are the people that are least like you, because those are the people that you struggle with relationships most. So you consciously have to reach out to the people that are not like you, that you don't want to spend, you know, where you, if there were 10 people in the line, the 5 people that you would think, I'll go see these other people first.
Yeah.
The 5 people, those are the people you need to go see. So if you feel uncomfortable leaving and joining groups.
Yeah,
so
before I do that, let me just say that. And you just defined it in terms of the people that you need to talk to, right? I'd like to suggest something different. I think one of the reasons people don't do this is the part you're going to talk about next, which is they feel uncomfortable leaving. If you'll notice more senior people, you'll see them leaving groups constantly. And what you'll discover is the phrases they use, the ones we're about to share, right? No one diminishes them for that at all. And there are people who say to themselves privately, I wish I could do that.
Mm-hmm.
In much the same way that you know, in fact, it just happened to me in St. Louis. A client manager walked into the hotel at the same time as me. And this person said to me, you're going to the Fed tomorrow. And I said, who's our client there? And I said, yes, I am. And I looked and I knew I should know this person, this manager. And I said, I'm so sorry, I've forgotten your name. And he said, of course you meet thousands of people. I'm sorry. And he introduced himself. What I find fascinating is I tell people all the time, you don't have to remember people's names. You have to be willing to admit you've forgotten and people will forgive you immediately. By the same token, you're not being rude to excuse yourself from a group.
Mm-mm.
What would be rude is walking away from a group and acting as if I don't want to talk to them.
Or staying there and looking bored.
Exactly. You just stole my thunder.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Lord. Yeah, but what happens, and you say, you know what? You say, I'm so sorry. Would you please excuse me? You don't have to give a reason why.
No.
And you then walk over to another group.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And if someone is 22 and realizes you walk from their group to someone else and introduce yourself to everybody else in a different group and say, oh, we must have not been good enough for them, that person is a judgmental dirtbag.
And
we'll grow up someday, and we'll figure out that you just did the socially most appropriate thing. I'll give you a good idea of this, guys. When you go to a dinner party, and an appropriate dinner party where etiquette matters, and you're married, you're not seated with your spouse. You're not. You're seated away from your spouse, so you can talk to somebody different.
Else.
They know you talk to your spouse all the time. And the rule is not to get you away from your spouse. It's to make for more interesting conversation. That's what
and
you do.
And they turn the table, so you speak to the left person for a while, and then the table is turned, so you will talk to the right person.
Yep.
So you talk to everybody. That's the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Okay.
So give us some examples.
So if you walked in and you've ended up in a group and you want to leave it and you want to go see another group, you could say, I'm really enjoying our conversation, but I feel the need to talk to Bill before he goes. Would you excuse me?
I'm going to challenge you on that, because what you just said is, but I feel.
Oh, yeah? and I feel.
And, right? Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the beauty of it is when you say but, there's a little bit of a negative there. When you say, I'm totally enjoying this and I've totally got to go talk to Bill. And by the way, what Winnie just said probably sounds a little bit more formal and frankly a little bit classier. And I just said totally twice in a sentence. And if you're young and you use the word totally, it's okay to say, I'm totally enjoying this, dude, and I totally need to go talk to Bob.
Absolutely.
And they'll be like, yeah, okay. And then the guy will say, oh, dude, you're totally hosing me here. You're like, yeah, I'm really sorry. I know you'll forgive me. Next round's on me. Right?
Yeah.
Good. And by the way, one of the ways you can afford a round for other people, if you're not drinking.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? Water's cheap. And by the way, if you want to be kept in water all night and you go to a bar, go up to the bar, ask for just water. Bartenders are happy to do it, and give them a 10.
Mm-hmm.
And they will give you waters. If you're standing 5 deep at the bar, when it starts getting busy at 6:30, 7 o'clock, and you're standing 5 deep and they see you, they'll raise their eyebrows and point at you and you'll nod your head, and magically a water will appear in your hand. For the rest of the night, you'll drink water because you gave the bartender 10 on your first interaction. And probably that's the price of one of the drinks if you're in a large city, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, good.
Okay, so here's another one. This is fascinating, but I don't want to monopolize you.
Yeah.
I'm going to go talk to Bill and let you share with others.
Can I share a story about this, though? I have to tell this story. I went with friends out at Pebble Beach to a party for the christening of a set of buildings that my friend Janie Hoyk was the project manager for, essentially built it for the school. And I didn't realize it until about 5 minutes into a conversation that I was having with a lovely person that she was the headmistress of the school. And we were having a delightful conversation. I had never been to the school before. I was just dressed in, I think we're in slacks and a dress shirt and a blazer. And I was there to support my friends, the Hoyks. And after about 15 minutes, which is a long conversation in an hour and a half long mixer where there are 200 people and the headmistress is talking to me and we're having a private conversation. There's nobody else in the conversation. One of my other friends had just stepped away from the conversation. And I said, I've just realized who you are. I'm mortified. I'm so embarrassed. I feel like I'm monopolizing your time. Let me let you excuse yourself. And this is exactly what I was taught by my mother and my father. This is what you do. And it was what I was supposed to do etiquette-wise. And I hurt the person's feelings. And I shouldn't tell this story. But now I realize in hindsight, not fair, not fair. I think she wanted to talk to me for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. I think she was interested in what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she wanted some dirt on my friend David. But regardless, I did the appropriate thing. And if somebody gets their feelings hurt when you say, I don't want to monopolize you and I need to step away or I'll let you step away, then they're not as cultured as you want them to be and it's not your fault. You're not required to stick around and talk to people who want to talk to you simply because they want to talk to you because their needs do not trump yours. Your needs are equal to theirs. And one of your needs in a situation where you're trying to build relationships is to meet other people.
Absolutely.
Good. Okay, good.
Okay, so one more.
Yeah.
If you're really into the conversation, but you've got in your back of your head, Wendy and Mark said, I have to talk to everybody, we should talk more about this. Shall we have lunch next week?
Yeah.
And we can make sure we get around the whole crowd here.
Yeah. By the way, the shall we have lunch next week is lovely. Not can we, not would you, or would you like to, shall we? It essentially says the conversation is inevitable. Shall we just make it about lunch? And it's a very British phrasing that didn't really make the transition across the pond. And it's one I use that the barrier to entry of that lunch is lowered by the word shall. Okay. I would like to add one more that's missing here, but I think more people will use it. And that is, would you please excuse me?
Yes.
Right.
Of course.
Yeah. and then literally walk away and walk 5 feet. Say, hi, guys. How are you? Mm-hmm. Haven't seen you in a while. You know, I'm sorry. We haven't met. You're Deborah. Hi, Deborah. I'm Mark. It's nice to meet you. And then, of course, it's the, oh, call me Deb. What's funny about that is people think it's rude or abrupt. It's not. It's literally considered one of the politest things you can say. Would you please excuse me? Now, what I often do, because I'm tall, is I lean forward a little bit. I put my hand almost on someone's upper arm, not on top of their shoulder. In other words, not with my palm facing to the ground, mm-hmm. but the knife edge of my hand, the bottom of my hand, if you will, toward the ground, my palm toward their upper arm. So in other words, how would I describe it? It would be, my palm and the back of my hand are, if a line came out of my palm, directly out of my palm, it would be parallel to the ground. And if I turn my hand 90 degrees, now my palm is up and I can hold something in it. And I almost put my hand on the upper shoulder of someone. I don't have to touch them. Mm-hmm. Just the act of reaching out and putting my hand near their upper arm and saying, would you please excuse me, while leaning into the conversation, makes them say, I'm going to ask for your permission to do this as a matter of social courtesy. And I'm going to do it in a way that's personal by almost touching you, but not touching somebody mm-hmm. in case you're uncomfortable with that. When you say, would you please excuse me? It would be the height of disrespect for someone to say no. What you're saying is, I'm excusing myself, and in etiquette, I can't do that without asking. But the asking is not a question. It is the form of leaving the conversation. And you say, would you please excuse me? And you walk away.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you're worried about what somebody might say to you after you've walked away in that conversation, that's not a person you need to worry what they think about you. Yeah.
Okay. So if you've walked away, here's some joining words.
Right?
So this is I adopted a Texan slang here. Y'all seem to be having fun over here. May I join you?
I love the may I join you. And if you'll remember, we have a podcast about how to join a group.
We do.
If there's a group that's fairly tightly knit, that's standing close together, you walk up to the group and there's a right way to put your hand near someone and to lean forward and to have the group naturally open up, and suddenly you're standing in the group. Based on who's speaking at the time is where you should try to join the group. Too many people walk up to a group where the person who's actively speaking at the time, and they're standing in a small circle in a small public space like a bar or a restaurant, and they walk up and stand right next to the speaker, so the speaker can't see them, and the speaker is focused on the audience. And everyone else in the audience, in the group, is uncomfortable because there's somebody waiting, but they don't want to interrupt the speaker. And you wonder why you can't get into that group. It's because you're entering the group from the wrong side. Anyway, okay.
Okay, so here's another one. I haven't talked to Bill all night. Do you mind if I join you?
Yeah, I love that one. In other words, you're saying, I'm aware that I have to talk to other people, and I haven't seen Bill, and so I would like to join this group because I'd like to say hello to Bill.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Bob, would you mind introducing me to the rest of your group? You look like you're having fun tonight.
Or Bob, would you mind introducing me to everyone? There's some people here I don't know. And obviously, I know Bob,
absolutely.
Right? Yeah, I love those. Love those.
I went to the NMX conference at Las Vegas to pick up the podcast award.
Right.
And afterwards there's a party, and I'm not a big party person. I would rather avoid it, but I went anyway. I walked up to a group and went, you look like the most interesting people in the room. Can I join you? And they all went, yes, you can.
Of course.
So
flattery will get you everywhere,
yeah,
right?
There's another one for right. you. Okay, so the last part of this is stick to safe topics. And since I get to write this cast, we're going to do it the British way, which is no talking about politics, religion, or money. And depending on where you're from, those subjects are more or less controversial.
Well, and part of the reason she says that, folks, is because she says that in the U.S., you've noticed Americans are willing to talk about politics.
And money.
Yeah, and money. Yeah.
Probably and not. Come to that, religion.
Yeah, no, I don't... Yeah, some of that may be skewed by our group here, mm-hmm. right? And the amount of time we force you to work and not have a life outside of work. Yeah, but I think those are good watchwords. Absolutely. And I think a lot of times people think I can talk about news, which mm-hmm. is absolutely appropriate, the news of the day, front page of any major newspaper. Often, though, that tends to be politics. I suspect there are people in our audience who don't know what Mike and I's politics are because we don't want you to. Mm-hmm. And there's a way to talk about what's going on in the world without expressing your personal view.
Absolutely.
As I've said many, many times, no matter what your politics are, the first rule is for elected officials, pray for them because they're not good enough for their job. Yeah. So what are the subjects?
So some less contentious subjects: family, sports, news items which are not tragic. Please do not bring up something
really
traumatic. I don't know. You might say, I'm so sorry to have seen that news today. We'll pray for them.
Yeah. Okay.
And then segue into something else. Okay. You don't want to be appear to be completely unfeeling about yes. something. But I just think...
And somebody's saying, I have family there. And
yeah. Or, you know, yeah. or somebody getting upset for some other reason.
Yeah.
It's and, just
yeah.
better not to.
Yeah. So if you walk into a conversation and bring up something like that and someone says, well, yeah, I have family there. We're worried. We haven't heard. And the conversation goes away. The appropriate response is for one person to look at the group, the person who brought up that topic, and go, nice, dude. Sorry. Kidding, folks. I'm totally kidding. Don't be that guy.
No.
Right.
Okay, some more TV programs and films that you've seen recently, books that you've read recently.
Wait, you're saying people should have read books recently?
They should.
Really? Because well, they're good topics.
We recommend that you read books. Yeah.
Okay, good.
And if you feel uncomfortable making small talk, think about the things that you could talk about before you go out. Don't like be stood there thinking, right. I have nothing to say. Right. And here's my tip. Look at the front page of Yahoo. Has the kind of trashy news that we all like to gossip about.
Yeah.
So if you want to know what Kim Kardashian is doing, it's usually on the front page of Yahoo, and it usually makes for a good conversation.
Are there people... I'm sorry, I don't think I just heard what you said. I think literally I could not hear what you said. Are you saying that there are people who actually care about what Kim Kardashian has just done?
I think there are, and I also think it makes for a good conversation starter.
No comment. Ah, well.
And if you get really stuck, do you have plans for the weekend? Are you going on vacation this year?
Yeah.
That's why hairdressers use it.
A set of topics you're leaving out is work. Would it not be okay if we were working together saying, wow, did you see what came over today?
Yes.
It would be okay.
I think it...
It shouldn't be first or second or third.
Okay,
right?
And it shouldn't be the only topic you talk
yes,
about.
Yes, right.
I think that's the same on any topic. That's maybe that's the, what I should have said about news of tragedy. It shouldn't be, you shouldn't have a one topic night.
Yes.
It should be a range. That's what a conversation is. It goes round and it goes here and it goes yep. there and it's random.
Yep.
So.
Good. Okay. I think that's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's recap.
Okay. So yes, we recommend you go to happy hour. Probably a third of the time. If you're looking for a minimum, exactly.
And if you want to go every time, we're absolutely okay with that.
Yeah.
As long as you're getting your work done. Results and relationships, or predominantly relationships and results.
Yeah. No, you don't have to drink.
Don't.
Spend time with everybody equally and stick to safe topics.
Yeah. I think probably a quarter of our audience right now is saying happy hour, right? When are we going? Let's go.
Oh, let's go.
A half is saying... I have stuff to do. You know, I actually work for a living rather than just go yap, yap, yap. And then there's probably another group that's like, no, I'm not sure I'm comfortable there. I'm not used to that. It doesn't make sense to me. And the bottom line here is it doesn't matter how you feel about it. We recommend you go at least a third of the time if you value your career. And hopefully we've given you some suggestions on how to make it through the evening.
Indeed.
Yeah. Good.
All right. Bye. Thanks, everyone. Winnie.
Thanks, everybody. That's it. Hope you enjoyed it. Stay tuned next week for another edition of Career Tools. See you then.